Solomon said, serve Lord while you young. I understand that more now because I done forgot more now than I knew. So it's kind of hard for me to memorize anything anymore. It just won't stay up there. I don't know. Got to hammer it in anymore to make it stay. Turn with me to the 15th chapter of the book of Romans this morning. Chapter is a continuation of the 13th and 14th chapter. 14th chapter in verse 1, it said, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. Well, I think need to be very careful of that. Sometimes we ask things and it's about something that we can't know even. And most often, though, if you'll pass the idea around a little bit, you'll come up with somebody that knows something. And I tickled at the old vet up in our country. He said, a funny thing, you can go out and an animal be sick, but he said, if you'll stand around there long enough, another old farmer to come along, he'll tell you what's wrong with him. And that's about right. That's about the way it goes. But in the 15th chapter, it says, we then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. My first question I ask myself when I come here, who's the weak? My answer to that after I thought about it a while was this, that we all are. So we ought to bear up one another. In the things of the Lord. We can have a lot of ideas about other things, but the things of the Lord are narrowed down to the principles of godliness. And that's where it all begins at. Also, another thing in that is it is less about the weak than it is the duty to take care to receive the others. It's a duty it's placed upon all people of faith that they might help one another. Look after the other man's things and not your own. Verse 2, he said, let every one of us please his neighbor, for he is good to edification. And we don't want to carry this too far, but it is about the things of God, not personal things or worldly things, but things of God. Please your neighbor in that. Betty and I were talking last night, and I told her that, talking about people's testimony, one of the better testimonies that man can have is that you go and assemble yourselves with the people of God. That's a great testimony. It definitely is. In verse 3, here's the reason. We have our perfect example. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, now he's going to look at the history of things, were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we, through patience, well, I believe this is one of the things we lack more than anything else, is patience. I know it speaks well to me, a lack of patience in all things. I have to be careful sometimes to be patient. Now, that may not sound, you got to work at it. And I believe it is important that we work at being patient. Learning that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture. Now, this is what was written aforetime. These things were written that we might have patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope in the comfort of the Scripture. What is it? We read it over and over and over, but it's our assurance, and we assemble every Sunday. That's our assurance. It keeps building it up. We're renewed day by day in these things. In the 12th chapter, verse 3, I believe, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Well, I said that we're all weak sometime, and our faith does sometimes get weak. But we're all guilty of that. And God has dealt to every one of his people some measure of the things of himself. So we ought, as getting up and coming to church this morning, show a good profession of faith. I believe that's the most important thing. It's not what we know. It's not what all the knowledge we have. I've got very little of that. But I believe it's the principles of godliness that are the most important part. It's not what we can, might say, memorize. People everywhere all over this world today can quote Scripture like never before. But when you look at them, you'll find out that their principles of godliness are different than that is presented in this Bible. It is the principles of it that matter. But we ought not think of ourselves at all, actually. According to God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, for as we have many members, every person is important in the assembly of God, if it be nothing more than come. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, we can't all do the same thing. We can't all think, actually, the same thing. But we can all think upon the principles that God has set forth. How in the world would I have known my sin, Apostle Paul said, had it not been for the law? Now, what was that? It was the principle of godliness that was set forth in the law, that we might learn. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So we ought to hold up the weak. But more important part of that is it is our duty. This is the purpose for all the people in the building of the house. They can't all be cornerstones. No. Can't be in the foundation, maybe. But they all fit somewhere. So man ought not judge the other man on the basis of what he knows, but upon his principles of godliness. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, all of the same house, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Don't go outside of that. If you don't learn it from the Spirit, let alone. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Be subject unto them that rule over you. How are they going to rule? With exhortation. Not with whipping. You can't beat nothing into a man of the things of godliness. You can whip him all day long till you kill him. But if you do it through exhortation, it may have some fruit. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. Through much exhortation. And he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. All ought to be the same. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Always taking care to lift a brother up, not put him down. Much exhortation. Of what? Of the Word of God. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. The people of God. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. That word patience comes up again. Patient in tribulation. Well, all things work together to good, don't they? To them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Always distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Isn't it good to rejoice? Say, yeah. We're rejoicing. Call out a feast. Celebrate. And rejoice in the Lord. And weep with them that weep. If one part of the body is hurting, the other part is going to feel it. If it be of the Spirit. Be of the same mind. Unity of the faith, of same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. It isn't you. It isn't us. It's everybody. Be of same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Well, we just heard that a while ago. Don't think more highly of yourself than y'all think. It's not necessary we try to be somebody. Best is don't be anybody. Condescend to men of low estate. It don't mean you got to get down waller in mire with him. But if he's not up, try to lift him up. You know what the worldly thing is. If you're down, go ahead and kick him again. That's what they, most of them think. They all, most men, are out to get somebody. Recompense no man evil for evil. We don't have to get any revenge. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, I guess in verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, that which has been given to us of God, not something that you have applied or something that you had, but what you received. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. What do you speak from? Best speak from the heart. I have spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak these things that we believe, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you, both you and us, for all things are for your sakes. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many, what, redound to the glory of God. That's the reason that we need to be careful to lift one another up. That we might be of one mind. That we might all glorify God. Being of the same spirit. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It is for our sakes that these principles have been set forth, that we not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but to think on the things of others. That's true ministry. That's a duty that we have been given if we be a part of that house, which has many members, but just one house, which is a spiritual house. In 1 Thessalonians, Thessalonians, the fifth chapter. I guess the 11th verse. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. I said a while ago, this is the part, admonish you. It isn't that you'd try to take any vengeance any other way, but admonish. Admonish about what? About the things of God. That's the reason we need to know the principles of godliness. And admonishing others might not be as, just like I told Betty last night when we were talking, it might be just getting up and going to church. It might be admonishment unto others. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, those that would rule over you by admonishment. It's an important work. It was the work that God set forth that his people would go out and do. Go and preach to them where that are in prison, and loose the bounds, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Why would we get all tore up about little old things? But we do sometimes. It's just the way things, because we are still in this old flesh, and we have a flesh and a nature, so we need to work at being patient and learn and be admonished and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them who are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Well, we're not going to all learn it in one day. So we need to be patient. And like I said when I started off, I done forgot more than I've learned. Every once in a while when we're preaching, though, I remember. And that's the good part about it. It brings those things back to memory that are important. That causes us then to be patient, that we ourselves might learn every time that we meet together and we're exhorted in the things of God. It is a reminder, even though you might even know it. It reinforces that faith and holds things together. The faith is the bond of the people of God. Come in a unity until you come in a unity of the faith. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them who are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men, and rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And it's all for your sakes. That's what Paul said. It's for your sakes that all these things, all the testimony that has gone before, all of the labor that has gone before, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ being the center point of all of it. What do you think that was all about? It was for you who know God. It's not that God loves everybody, but it's to those that know God, called according to grace.
Some of the most remarkable scriptures are those that have to do with the unity of the Spirit and the body of Christ in love toward one another. We all talk about these favorite Bible verses, and sometimes it's hard to to determine which one is favorite and which one aren't, but and what our need is mainly, I think, is which one is our favorite verse. But there are some that are very always appropriate. I put it that way. And one of my favorite ones that have been down through the years is 133rd Psalm. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then he goes on and describes what that's like. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. It totally covered him. And it was that sweet-smelling ointment that gave off that pleasant smell. And it first went up to the Lord, and then secondly, it is pleasant to those that are about. And then it's as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there... Now here's the thing, for there the Lord commanded what?
Blessing.
The blessing, even life forevermore. And then in the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter, we find this, that by this all men shall know that you're my disciples. How is that, John? How is it, Christ? That's what Christ was saying. That you have love one to another. That's pleasant, isn't it? And that's what has been so pleasant about our fellowship here for many years now. And again, I'm not saying that bragging, but say it with great fear, because I know that pride goeth before a fall, and so I'm thankful to God that we see that present here. I think doctrinally we, for the most part, are in agreement. There's no doubt that there are some things that we probably do not understand the same way. But I do believe that our spirits are all the same. We have one mind, and that is to glorify God. I do believe that we understand that this is not about our glory, but it is about the glory of God. And whatever it takes for God to be glorified, that we are willing to do that. That we are humble toward one another and humble before God, and our desire is to see Christ glorified and God glorified in Him. So we have peace. Peace with God and peace with one another. Now, it sure requires sometimes for us to forgive, right? One another, even as Christ, God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us.